Psalm 148. Last time, you remember, we continued looking into this last section in the book of Psalms, and we have learned that these last five psalms that are found in this book, the last five psalms are called, they've been given the name, the Hallelujah Psalms. The Hallelujah Psalms. In other words, we said that these five final psalms are actually great doxologies of praise that are given to the Lord God. In our study 2 weeks ago in Psalm 146, we saw David singing his song of praise to the Lord God for his mighty power to save his own. And then in our study together last time in Psalm 147, we saw the same idea was presented, but it was presented from a bit of a different viewpoint. We saw that David spoke of seven great themes. He talked about, and all of these started with the letter P, you remember. Pastor Moore would love this. But it was God's pity. God's pity for his city, for his people. We also saw God's power. We saw God's providence. We saw God's pleasure, how that God is pleased when his people fear him and trust in him instead of trusting in the strength of horses or in the strength of men. Instead of trusting in the powerful things of this world, God is pleased when we trust in him, God's pleasure. We saw God's protection for the cities of Israel, for the citizens of Israel, and for the coast of Israel. God's protection. He also gave praise for God's purposes. How that everything that happened, David understood. Everything that happens, happens according to God's plan, according to God's purpose. Nothing ever happens in our life that causes God to say, whoops, didn't see that one. No. Everything that happens in our life happens according to God's plan, happens according to God's purpose. And then we also saw number seven, we saw God's precepts. God gave his word. He gave his word to all of mankind, right? Gave his word to all men of all generations. But how did he give it? He gave it through the nation of Israel. Israel was the nation that received the word of God, preserved it, and then has propagated it to all the world. And so therefore, now we come to our text today in Psalm 148. And David is going to speak of how that all mankind, because of all of these blessings that we've seen in Psalm 146, Psalm 147, now David in Psalm 148, he's going to show us, he's going to speak to us of how all men ought to respond to God. Well, when we consider all of these things that God has done and all the things that God is doing, what should our response be? How should we respond to him? And it's interesting to notice, as one commentator has said, that in this psalm, Psalm 148, he said that this psalm is pure praise. Pure praise. There are no prayers or petitions or pleas in this psalm. It's all praise. That's how we ought to respond. When we consider all the things that God has done and all the things that God is doing for us, the response should be nothing more than praise. It also is interesting to notice, as we consider the psalm we're going to look at this morning, this psalm is also prophetic. It is also prophetic. In other words, it is looking forward to a time when this psalm will see its total fulfillment on this earth. And that prophetic time is looking forward to the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The millennial kingdom. When not only will the knowledge of our God be spread over the whole earth as the waters cover the sea, but from every created object in heaven and in earth, from every created object, be it living or be it lifeless, every object from the highest archangel to the tiniest atom, all of them will be united in praise and thanksgiving to God. Men, women, children, old people, as well as kings and princesses and judges, all of them will be united in giving their praise to the Redeemer. And so as we look at this wonderful psalm, two natural divisions are found as we go through these verses. There are two natural divisions that are found here. And first of all, I want us to begin by noticing the praise in the heavens. Praise in the heavens. As David turned his eyes upward, he begins to tell us, first of all, letter A, where God should be praised. Where God should be praised. Verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Now that's the command that we have seen over and over. And in the previous two Psalms, we saw it there as well. Praise ye the Lord. That's the theme of these Hallelujah Psalms. And so he begins with the command, praise ye the Lord. But then notice, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. God dwells in the heaven. Isn't that correct? God dwells in the heaven. You remember back in Psalm 123. In Psalm 123, verse number 1, David made the statement. He said, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. That's God's dwelling place. That's where God dwells. And so therefore, those who are closest to Him, He's in the heavens, and therefore those who are closest to Him, that is, those who are in the heavens also, it naturally then makes sense that the song of praise should begin with them. It should begin with them. And so we find a call to give praise to the Lord God is given. It's given to three things that are found in the heavens. Three things found in the heavens that are commanded to praise God. Let's notice them together. Number one, there is the angelic host. The angelic host. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had that great vision. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2 and verse number 3, Isaiah declares that he saw in this vision some beings that he called the seraphim. And Isaiah said that he saw the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly, and one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. John saw the same thing. John saw the same thing in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 8. He declared, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, John declared that it is the sole occupation of the seraphim. Their sole occupation, their only purpose is to praise God. And John declared that they rest not day or night. Continually, they are giving praise to God. That's the seraphim. But David's command was not just to the seraphim. His command was not just to the seraphim. Rather, in verse number 2, David said, notice it, David said, "Praise ye him, all his angels." All his angels, praise ye him, all his host. Now you'll notice that there are two classes that are mentioned here. There are two classes that are mentioned. First of all, his angels are God's ministers. They are God's ministers. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 14 tells us that the angels are God's, they are God's ministers. But the host that we find mentioned here are God's warriors. They're God's army. They're God's warriors. It was this host that was seen. You remember when the Syrian army, one of my favorite places in the Bible, I have several places in the Bible I often think about, if somebody ever invents time travel, where you can go back in time and see things, this is one of the things I'd like to go see. Remember the time when the prophet Elisha was in a certain place and the Syrian army had surrounded the city. And Elisha's servant went out and he saw the great host of the Syrian army out there, and he said to the man of God, "What are we going to do? Look at all these enemies out here. There is absolutely no way we're ever going to escape. We're not going to get out of this alive. This is dangerous." And Elisha, you remember, prayed a prayer. And Elisha prayed and said, "Dear God, open his eyes. Open his eyes." The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, that Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And guess what he saw? Listen to it. The Bible says he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses. And it was full of chariots. Unseen by the natural eye, yet seen by the eye of faith, Elisha, by his prayer, had this young man's eyes opened by God that he might see surrounding him all of the host of God that were there to protect him. That's an amazing thought. That's an amazing thought. The angelic host. Those who are God's angels, messengers, those who are God's host, warriors. All of them, David said, should praise God. Praise ye the Lord, the angelic host. And then we see number two. We see the command is not only given to the angelic host, number two, it is also given to the heavenly bodies. To the heavenly bodies. In verse number 3, praise ye him. Now here's the heavenly bodies. The sun and the moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. In other words, all of those heavenly bodies that when you go out at night and you look up into the night sky and you see all of those billions and billions and innumerable numbers of stars that are twinkling in the sky, the command is given to all of them, praise the Lord. Give praise to God. So we see the command is given to the angelic host, it's given to the heavenly bodies, and then number 3, we find the command is also given to the great waters. The great waters. In verse number 4, David said, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." Ye waters that be above the heavens. Now to understand this, we have to go back. We have to go back to the second day of creation, back in Genesis chapter 1. We've talked about this on Wednesday night over the past several weeks. We've been doing a series on the subject of heaven. And one of the things that we talked about is, where is heaven located? And we dealt with this passage, but let's go back and take a look at it here. We find on the second day of creation, here's what the Bible says. Notice it, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says, God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." Now you remember the Bible says that God said, "Let there be light." There was light. But then we find that the whole earth was covered with water. The whole earth was without form, it was without void, and there was a great deep that was on the face of the earth. It was all covered by water. But then on the second day, God said, let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. He made the firmament. And divided the waters which were, notice it, waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were where? Above the firmament. So here's the whole earth, it's covered with water. And God says, okay, I'm going to make a firmament and I want it to be in the midst of the waters. So He divides the waters, and now there are the waters that are on the earth and there are waters above the earth, and in the middle of that is what God called the firmament. Okay? It's what He called the firmament. And God says, the Bible says in verse number 7, that when God made that statement, it was so. Now I checked that out in the Hebrew, and what that means is, it was so. That's exactly what happened. God said, I'm going to divide water from the water. I'm going to put a firmament between the waters. Now there are waters on the earth, and now there are waters that are above the firmament. You say, well, how big is that firmament? Well, it's pretty big. It's pretty big. And the reason I know it's pretty big is because when you go over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, you will find that it is in that firmament where God placed the sun, the moon, all the stars, all the solar systems, all the galaxies of the universe, all of it is in that firmament. Okay? That's pretty big. That's pretty big. And God said, you waters, you great waters, especially you waters that are above the heavens. Above the heavens. You waters, you praise God. Praise the Lord, the angelic host. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all of the heavenly bodies. And praise the Lord, you great waters. You great waters that are above the heavens. But now David is going to show letter B. He's going to show us why God should be praised. He showed, first of all, where God should be praised, but now he's going to show us why. Why God should be praised. And now David is going to speak of those same three things that we have already seen mentioned. He's going to speak of those same three things he's just mentioned, and he's going to give us three reasons why those things should praise the Lord God. First of all, those three things, the angels, the heavenly bodies, the great waters, all of those things should praise God, first of all, because He is their Creator. Verse number 5, let them praise the name of the Lord. Okay, why? Well, here's the reason. For He commanded, and they were created. He commanded. You know what that means? Simply means He spoke. He just spoke. And there it was. From nothing, He commanded. It came to pass. It was created. He spoke it into existence by the power of His Word. All of those things, the angels, the heavenly bodies, the great waters, all of that was created from nothing by the power of God's Word. He is their Creator. Therefore, they should praise Him, number two. Not only should they praise Him because He is their Creator, number two, they should praise Him because He is their Sustainer. He is their Sustainer. Verse number five, let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? He hath also established them forever and ever. He has established them. He has put them in their place, and He keeps them in their place according to His perfect plan and His perfect will. He sustains them. He keeps them in their place. And they should also praise Him because of the fact that not only is He their Creator and their Sustainer, but He is also their Master. He is their Master. And verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? Verse 6, He hath made a decree which shall not pass. He's made a decree and shall not pass. In other words, God decreed their place. God decreed their purpose. Because of His decree, they will not fail to fulfill the plan, to fulfill the purpose for which He created them. God made a decree. They will not pass. So David speaks of those things in the heavens and how that they are to praise the Lord. But then he speaks, number two, not only of praise in the heaven, he also speaks of praise in the earth. This is the natural division. We find it in verse number seven. Praise the Lord from the earth. Started in heaven, closest to where God is. Now he comes down to the earth. And he says that those on the earth are to praise God. And David then is going to give two extremes. He's going to give two extremes that will serve as like bookends. If you have a bookcase, I've done this many times, and I will actually use a big book for a bookend. It's big enough to stand up by itself, right? And it's heavy enough that when I get books that large, normally I don't read them. This is why I get them. I get them to be bookends. But at any rate, I get these two big books, and the biggest books I put one on this end, one on that, and then all the little books I put between, right? And those big books serve as a bookend. Well, that's what David is going to do. He's going to get two large things, two extremes, and he's going to use them as bookends to show why we ought to praise God. Now notice the bookends that he chooses. Verse number 7. Praise the Lord from the earth. Now here's the two extremes. Dragons and all deeps. Dragons and all deeps. Notice extreme number one. Extreme number one, we find the largest on earth. The largest on land, in other words. In 1841, a fellow by the name of Sir Richard Owen, he coined a new term. The new term that he coined was a term that would be used to describe what he would call a terrible lizard. The term that he coined for these large reptiles was the term that all of us are familiar with. It's called dinosaurs. That term was coined, it became a part of the English language in 1841. But what were those same creatures referred to? If you go back into the old dictionaries of the English language, what were those same creatures referred to before 1841? What was the name that was given to them before Owen coined this new name that was given to these animals? Well, the name that was given to them before 1841 was simply the name that we find in our 1611 King James Bible. They were called dragons. They were called dragons. Stories about them. Drawings of them. Those creatures are found in many cultures, from the Americas to Europe, to India, China. In fact, Chinese tradition, there is the year of the dragon. Right? Dragon, very important. Well, where did all that come from? Just pop out of somebody's head? No. A lot of myths that are in the world today, even though they are myths, they are founded in reality. They're founded in reality. And so these great creatures, were literal creatures that roamed the earth. Men referred to them as dragons. And many times men would write great stories, great epic tales about those brave men who dared to go forth armed with only a sword and a shield and a spear, and they were called dragon slayers, right? We still have their stories. Still have their tales are given today. The largest animal on earth, on dry land at that time. Dinosaurs. Dragons. So David uses that as one extreme. Then he goes to another extreme. On the other end of his bookcase, the other bookend is an extreme that is found in the deepest on earth. In other words, the seas. The seas. With all of man's desire to investigate and to explore, it's amazing that we actually today know more about outer space than we do about our own oceans. We know more about outer space than we do the seas that are in our own earth. Now, as one writer has noted, its depths are so dark, its pressures so enormous, its perils so awesome, that it has defied us until now. Defied us until now. Even with all that men have learned about the sea, all we can really say with any degree of certainty is found in Psalm 104, verse number 25. All we can really say with certainty, it's already been said. Listen to what David said. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beast. They're in the sea. They're in the sea. Huge place. Stop and think about it. How many of you have ever flown across the Pacific Ocean? Let me see. You've flown across the Pacific. Many of you have. Many of you have. It takes a long time to get across there, doesn't it? It takes a long time to get across that Pacific Ocean. You say, man, that Pacific is really a big place, right? May I remind you, you're only looking at the top of it. You're only looking at the top of it. It is very, very deep. Very, very deep. And in that ocean, All kinds, innumerable, the Bible says. There are all kinds of innumerable creeping things. There are small beasts, there are great beasts, and all of them in this place called the great deeps of the earth. Two of the largest things, dragons on dry land, the great deeps of the sea. And between those two extremes, David is going to talk about five things that are expected to lift up their voice in praise to God. Number one, or letter A, the natural forces. The natural forces. Verse 8, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind. I love this last part. Notice it. Fulfilling His word. Think about that. The natural forces, all of them fulfill God's word. Remember we said before, He has set decrees, right? And all of them fulfill His word. In other words, the natural forces of nature, get this, the natural forces of nature praise God. You say, how can they praise God? Fire can't speak. Snow can't talk. Hail can't sing. How can these natural forces praise God? Here's how they praise God. They praise God by doing exactly what God has commanded them to do. That's how they praise God. That's how they praise God. The fact of the matter is, the lesson we can learn from that is many of us, we can sing the praise songs with our mouth. But the fact of the matter is, it is nothing more than rank hypocrisy if in our life we are not fulfilling God's plan and purpose for us. It is as we obey Him that we are truly able to glorify and to praise Him. Natural forces. They praise God. Not only that, letter B, the mountain heights. The mountain heights. Praise Him, David said. Mountains and all hills. Some years ago, Ginger and I had the privilege of going to Canada, and we were on the border there at Banff on the Rocky Mountains there. Beautiful thing. And as we stood there and looked at the peaks of those great and spectacular mountains, it suddenly dawned on me that all of them are praising God. You say, wait a minute, how can mountains praise God? It's very easy. Have you ever seen one that was pointing anywhere but up? They're all pointing up, right? You ever seen one pointing that way? No, they're all pointing up. They're all pointing men to God. They're all pointing men to the Creator. That's how they praise God. They praise God by pointing to Him. The natural forces, the mountain heights. Let her see. The growing trees. Notice in verse number 9, the fruitful trees and all the cedars, David said. How in the world do these trees praise God? How do they praise God? Well, some trees praise God by bearing fruit that is fit for the table of a prince. And some trees provide lumber that is fit for the building of a palace. But all of them praise God by being used for others. They praise God by being used for others. But again, notice letter D, the living animals. The living animals. Verse number 10, beast, and all cattle, creeping things, and flying fowl. You look at these things and you find two categories. You find those that terrorize men and those that provide food for men. You find those that creep and slither on the ground, and you find those that soar in the clouds. And yet all of them have a song of praise to God that is offered up to Him as they fill the place, as they perform the purpose that their Creator has ordained for them. Letter E, the human world. The human world. It's interesting to notice that when it speaks of humans giving praise to God, it speaks first of all to all ranks. To all ranks. Verse 11, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. In other words, no matter how high we may go in this world, the truth of the matter is we never get so high that we are no longer expected to give praise and worship to God. In fact, the higher we go, the more we ought to praise Him, right? The more we ought to worship Him. But every rank is included. All of the kings, all the way down to all of the people, all of them are to be praising God. Not only does it speak to all ranks, it speaks to all genders. Notice in verse number 12, both young men and maidens. That's male, female, man, woman, boy, girl. All genders are included in this giving of praise to God. It speaks to all ranks, to all genders. Number three, it speaks to all ages. Notice the last part of verse 12. Old men, and that includes old women too. It's using men in the generic sense of mankind. Old people, okay? Old people and children. All ages. All ages. Verse number 13, let them there, it's plural, talking about all humanity, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. The word excellent there simply means it is high, it is exalted. His name is excellent, His glory is above the earth and heaven. All of heaven is to praise Him. All of earth is to praise Him. Why? Because His glory is above it all. His glory is above it all. So He speaks to the human world. Last of all, letter F. He speaks to the chosen nation. He's going to speak now specifically to that people that God has chosen to be His people. He's going to speak to the nation of Israel. And I want you to notice three things just very quickly. Number one, the nation of Israel should praise God, first of all, for their power. For their power. Verse number 14, He also exalteth the horn of His people. The horn of His people. Throughout the Bible, the horn is always used as a symbol of power. It's used as a symbol of power. And so He's talking here about the fact that God has exalted, He's lifted up His people, He's given them power in the world. They ought to praise God. They ought to praise God for their power. They ought to praise God also, number two, for their privilege. For their privilege. Verse number 14, He also exalteth the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel. Even of the children of Israel. Today, you and I, as individual believers, are referred to as saints. We're referred to as saints, as individual believers in Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you are a saint. You don't have to perform a miracle and die and then have somebody declare you to be a saint. The Bible says you are a saint already if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But never anywhere do we find a nation referred to as saints, except for the nation of Israel. Only the nation of Israel is referred to on a national level as God's saints. The word simply means God's favored ones. God's favored ones. What a privilege. What a privilege to be favored, to be chosen by God. Israel should praise God for their power. They should praise God for their privilege and the relationship that they have with God. And then number three, they should praise God for their position. Notice in verse number 14, the children of Israel, and notice the position. They are a people near unto Him. Near unto Him. They have the ability. Had the ability to come to Jerusalem. Come to the temple, to the tabernacle. Had the privilege to come near to that place where God Himself dwelt in the Holy of Holies. Had the privilege to be near to God. Had the privilege to be near to God. And therefore, they ought to praise Him. You and I have an even greater reason to praise Him. Not only do we have the privilege of being near to God, we have the wonderful privilege of knowing that God doesn't dwell in a tent that we're able to visit. God lives inside of us, right? If Israel had a reason to praise, we have an even greater reason to praise God because of the nearness of His presence, the position that we have. And so David then says to that chosen nation of Israel, he gives the admonition. He gives the admonition. Verse number 14. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We also are a chosen people. John chapter 1 verse 12. We're the children of God. We're the children of God. And it is certain that we should join all creation, as we've already seen. We should join all creation in faithfully praising the God who loved us, who sent His Son to die for us, who saved us from the terrible penalties of our sin, has placed within us the seal of His own Holy Spirit, is preparing now for us in heaven a place, and has given to us the wonderful promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. When you stop and think about that, how can we be silent? And how can we refuse to give praise to the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You.